We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you, rolling from the Taproom River Ranch. And yeah, it was rolling before we even got here. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you and live on 1037 The Game. Ben Love having a great time here. And we got a lot of great sports interviews, nuggets coming your way. Astros on the short end of the stick there. Game 134 of the regular season. Glad you got to hear every millisecond of it. But as we take flight, we're looking forward to LSU football, UL football, and the Saints playing their final preseason game at 7 o'clock tonight for the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Let me give you the drop on it. We'll be taking a trip out to New Orleans in about 40 minutes. Straight up 6 o'clock, Ken Trahan, or as you might call him, Trahan, Crescent City Sports, my man, also the GM of the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. He'll preview this game, not about the X's and O's, but the Jimmys and Joes. Which ones stay, which ones go, after the final cuts to the 53-man roster for the New Orleans Saints. One thing I can tell you, some good football players are going to get cut from this Saints roster. That's the type of healthy place that you want your franchise to be. But a final audition tonight, Saints versus Dolphins at 7. Again, Ken Trahan at 6 o'clock to preview all of it for you. Our apologies that we missed our 5 p.m. date with Gordy Rush. That's okay. Gordy will be back in the huddle starting next week. Had a conversation with him. He gets it. He'll be tagged out by the Astros occasionally if need be. But I've got some good news as well. It's our pleasure at least once a year to bring Karen Juno aboard the program. Karen's going to be here in exactly 10 minutes or thereabouts. We're going to talk about the 2019 edition of Golf for a Cause, tremendous local golf event in the Acadiana area. So as we take you up until 6:45, we're going to explore the space on all those topics and more. And we're happy to take your phone call, 706-0111. I can also tell you, I'm ready for some football. I don't just want to watch it on the tube. I don't just want to watch it and spectate it in person, as I will inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome Saturday late morning. I'm excited to call some damn football, and that will be back in my life within the next hour and a half, and hope you stick around and listen to it. A reminder that at 6:45, myself alongside Blaine Viator will begin the pregame show for Karen Crow, Bro Bridge, Kiwanis Jamboree style from Cajun Field. Kickoff slated for anywhere between 7 and 7:15. And now that I've said that out loud, it'll probably be 7:30. But whenever toe meets leather, I will be there for you. And excited about that ball game tonight. A couple of teams that trended in the right direction in 2018. In particular, the Tigers of Pont Bro, looking for even bigger and better things in 2019. So three games tonight at Cajun Field. Three more tomorrow. You've got some one-off high school football jamborees. It is truly that time of year. But as we start to look forward toward the LSU and Cajuns openers, I want to address the idea of suspended players, because this is something, you know, it's funny that it really hasn't come up yet on this show, and shame on me if that's on me. But we often speculate, because it seems like an annual rite of passage, not just at LSU, but certainly not excluding LSU, that about an hour before the game, you learn that, oh, okay, this guy's not playing. Oh, okay, this guy's not suited up. Or he's in street clothes and on the sideline during warmups. And I know there's been rampant speculation. Who might it be for LSU this year? I'm here to tell you, not that I've been sticking my nose in that business, to be honest. I have no idea. But it would be surprising, and it would be very un-LSU-like. And again, it ain't just them. It'd be un-Georgia-like. It'd be un-Bama-like if there weren't some of the regulars that were MIA for the opener. You just hope it's nobody important. More importantly than that, you hope it's not multiple games. And again, it happens all over the country. If you get to start with a relative cupcake or a warm-up game in week one, then magically your guys come back that were suspended for game two. LSU schedule, I think we all know the way it lays out this year. Wouldn't be surprising if that were the case. Sit out the Georgia Southern game, come back for Texas. It's a topic that I think is interesting, not just because of LSU, although I wanted to address what I know is rampant internet speculation that LSU will have guys out. I'm here to tell you, I showed up in Jerry World. I showed up at the old Georgia Dome in Atlanta. I showed up in Tiger Stadium. Wherever LSU has had openers, when I was a beat writer, I showed up, and, yeah, I typically learned an hour, maybe two, before the game exactly what was going down. They keep that locked up pretty tight. But it would be surprising if no one were suspended for the opener. It's just the way that things go. And when Ed Orgeron said yesterday in his press conference, hey, we've changed the culture, but we're not there yet, maybe, just maybe, he had that in mind. But I bring it up not just for LSU, but we understand that there are suspended Mississippi State players from the football program, from the basketball program, right? Tudorgate in Stark, Vegas. But only one, if I'm not mistaken, projected as a starter for Joe Moorhead and the Bulldogs. So how much will the Cajuns be, you know, I guess let off the hook in that regard? Not a whole lot. But it's that time of year where you at least have to consider it. All right, don't forget, on the other side of this break, scheduled to do a live interview with Karen Juno talking golf for a cause. We will have Ken Trahan at straight up 6 o'clock, a scene setter from the Dome, getting you ready for the Saints-Dolphins preseason finale. And then a Q&A replay with James Buers, getting you ready for high school football at 6:15. And one other log we can add onto the fire. I know we came to the party late today. Thank you, Astros. But we come bringing gifts to the party. In this break, the first one to call the famous Clint D and ask for two LSU football tickets to the Georgia Southern opener, you will get them. One caveat, got to be able to pick them up at Delta Media tomorrow between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. The number to call for those tickets, 706-0111. And go. We're heading to a break. I'll be right back in. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
34 minutes after 5 o'clock, welcome back into the place to be. It's the Taproom River Ranch, and you need schedule updates. I've got one that's very important to LSU Tiger fans. LSU Georgia Southern, the opener for Tiger Stadium this Saturday night, just about 49 hours from this moment, it's been moved on television. Instead of being on the four-letter network, it'll be on the SEC network. That's for those who want to watch it. But the real way to do it, make sure you listen in. That's the way the pros go, especially because, well, we understand. You live a busy lifestyle. That's why we carry the games on Acadiana Sports Station. So make a note of it that you can always listen to LSU football right here. Now, CD, I mentioned some scheduling changes. So far, nothing's changed for the games that are slated for tonight across the country. We know that last week was week zero. For week one, there are 16 games across the college football landscape. So far as I could tell, four of them now, involving ranked teams. Central Florida, darn near two-time defending national champs. If it weren't for that pesky Fiesta Bowl versus LSU, the Knights are at home and 44-point favorites to beat FAMU. That's not nice to do to the SWAC odds makers. The number one team in the country, your actual defending national champs, Clemson. They'll start off at home tonight, 36-point favorites over Georgia Tech. That is a conference ball game. Yikes. Number 12, Texas A&M, at home against Texas State out of the Sun Belt. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies, 34.5-point favorites. And Utah, the number 14 team in the country. The two Utes. Well, I guess the 85 Utes, all of them on scholarship. They are 6.5-point favorites on the road at BYU. But, CD, I did mention, if you caught it there, I did mention Texas A&M, and that gives us a little fodder for something we like to do every single day. And while Karen Juno is en route, we'll talk with her on the other side of this break, I do believe. That gives me an opportunity to remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home and then trust them to beautify life outside your home. They can even do it before the end of this football season, before the Saints make a run toward the Super Bowl. But for that, to have your patio game upped in a hurry, you better go in a hurry to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
CD, amigo, I'm going to let you set this one up, and then we'll take it down together. Because, frankly, you're the one that introduced me to it. I mentioned Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. You think they enjoyed a lone win over LSU since they joined the SEC last November? Do you think that they maybe have commemorated that?
Oh, definitely. They've commemorated that in probably a lot of different ways. But one way that popped up, this actually came from our guy Cole Kublik. He was talking with Jimbo Fisher to preview what was going on with that Texas State game you talked about going on later tonight, and showed a picture of him inside his office, and there is a giant picture, giant painting, if you will, of the last year's game in College Station with him, a wide receiver snagging one out in that 7 overtime ball game. And it's safe to say that Jimbo Fisher is having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, and I've seen the picture because, of course, you texted it to me. Dude's got like a flat-out mural right now in that war room, and it's a one-handed grab over an LSU defender. So Jimbo Fisher just rubbing a little salt in the wounds. And I'm sure now that it's made the rounds on social media, LSU has taken notice as well. DBU, you've been put on notice.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
And speaking of that LSU game on Saturday night, we have now given away two tickets to that bad boy. Shout out to Waylon out of Bro Bridge. Waylon, not only a winner of those tickets, but I'm assuming he's a fan of the football Tigers. He can listen to them as we'll broadcast the game against Karen Crow coming up. Pre-game show in about an hour and 5 minutes. Kickoff, we're thinking between 7 and 7:15. Need it to stay dry here in the Hub City and out over Cajun Field. Clint, we'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up our 5 o'clock hour. I do want to get to the Cajuns, Mississippi State, a game that probably has a little bit more intrigue, at least Cajun fans are hoping, than what's going to happen in Baton Rouge with LSU and Georgia Southern. Either way, interesting, isn't it? Some SEC on Sunbelt crime for both the Cajuns and the Tigers. We got to keep talking that and more. And then we take it to New Orleans to talk with Ken Trahan. Crescent City Sports, straight up 6 o'clock about tonight's preseason game in the Dome. Q&A replay with James Buers on high school football at 6:15 as he preps you for the prep jamborees that begin tonight. So stick with us. More Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch, and always on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Good. I get it. B2BS live from the Taproom River Ranch. On 103.7 The Game. trying to fit everybody in as best we can. I know Karen Juno is en route. We do plan to talk golf for a cause whenever she arrives here at the Tap Room. 6 o'clock, it'll be Ken Trahan, or Trahan, live from New Orleans to preview tonight's preseason finale for the Saints, taking on the Dolphins. And then 6:15, we'll go Q&A replay style with James Buers, all in on Prep Jamboree football. Clint, I want to talk some Cajuns. Join me for a moment, won't you? We've got a depth chart that's been released earlier today by, or late yesterday, actually, Billy Napier and company. In the not-a-surprise department, Levi Lewis named the first-team quarterback. Jaive Magale, the JUCO transfer to California, will be his backup. I'm not going to go line by line here, but some of the highlights, Bradley, Bam Jackson, and Jamal Bell listed as your starters at the three wide receiver positions. Tight end, we know, a bit decimated by injury. The starting H-back, if they deploy one, will be senior Nick Ralston. If it's the more conventional Y tight end variety, it'll be either Hunter Bergeron, redshirt sophomore from right here in Lafayette, St. Thomas More, or freshman Neil Johnson. Interesting. Left to right across the offensive line, Mitchell, Marks, Shane Vallow out of Como will start at center, Dotson at right guard, and Hunt at right tackle. Clint, I know the thing that's gotten a lot of people not up in arms, but maybe surprised as we switch to defense back from injury. The redshirt junior listed as a backup at the Jack linebacker position. Your thoughts there?
Let me kind of calm everybody down real quick, because right when I saw that last night, Joe Dillon being named the backup, I immediately just thought about this. He's coming back from a hip injury. He hasn't played in about 2 years. I want to see if he's able to be ready to go just in terms of in-game reps first as a backup. And then over the next couple weeks, this is just the week one depth chart, y'all. Like going forward, probably within like week two or week three, or once you get into conference play, that's when you'll start seeing him be inserted as a starting Jack linebacker. I think it's largely because of the fact you want to see him get his legs underneath him when it comes to actual game time. And I think he can wind up benefiting from being a backup linebacker for the first 2 weeks.
The voice of reason, Clint Domang. And you know, one other thing I thought about, and I'm sure you've been marinating on this for several weeks, ever since the game time was moved up to 11 a.m. inside the dome, you're going to be doing under the dome for at least an hour during that football game. How tempted are you going to be to give live updates and basically try and armchair play-by-play that bad boy?
Let me put it this way, Ben. I mean, inside the 237 Roof Studios, we don't necessarily have the station that it's going to be airing on. I believe that's going to be on the U. So it'll be pretty easy to kind of stay away from giving you the live updates. Mind you, under the dome, it'll be formatted a little bit differently than normal. The first half is going to be largely sticking with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. The second half is going to be more revolved around LSU and the national scene as well, because it's week one of college football.
All right, Clint. Don't need the programming reminder. I tried to get you the entree there. And I've seen you stream Cajuns games when they basically have been bootlegged like through the Taliban and redirected on satellites around the world. So you're telling me you're not going to find a way to watch the Cajuns game? I do not believe you. So I'm just going to leave that right where it is and go back to the depth chart, getting you ready for Cajuns versus Mississippi State. Now, there will be at least one other local starter along the D-line. And we've been hearing a lot about him and from him so far during this fall camp. Zion Hill, redshirt sophomore at a Catholic New Iberia. I almost forgot this is going to be his third year on campus. 6'1", 279. He has been an absolute handful. Anything else, CD, as we get toward the back end? Some other local starters at the weak safety position will be Deuce Wallace from St. Thomas More. Braylon Trahan out of Acadiana started free safety. Anything else jump out at you with this first release depth chart?
Not really. Everything else kind of went hashtag as expected. It felt like everything fell into place, a lot like what we've heard all offseason long from Billy Napier. A lot of these guys have stepped their game up, and I like a lot of what I've been seeing from the starting 11 for both sides, especially when you look at the secondary, seeing Michael Jacquet, which, again, is definitely to be determined. I know he's had a foot injury he's been kind of dealing with over the last couple of weeks, so hopefully he could be back. He is listed as day-to-day. But beyond that, it's definitely a relatively nothing. There was no major shocks on that depth chart outside of the Joe Dillon. But once you kind of step back for a second, you realize why.
Any surprise with Stevie RT? You got a Lafayette High name the starting kicker?
No, not at all.
Okay. I didn't think so either. You know, one other thing that's come to light as of late yesterday, I know there's been some disappointment. Give some credit here. Kevin Foote with the Acadiana Advocate. According to the Cajuns, nearabouts 14,000 tickets pre-sold for the game at UL. That's a tough one for me, Clint, because I understand some of what, you know, the athletic department, the administration, the RCAF, I understand what they would want. I'm not going to tell you that they're dreaming, but I think that there might be some unrealistic expectations there at this point. I think the point to which they're trying to build this thing to, in a couple of years, maybe it wouldn't be a pipe dream to imagine 25, 30,000 people buying tickets to go 2.5 hours away. Am I crazy here, Clint? Because when I first read 14,000, I said to myself, that's probably about what I expected. I mean, it's not a terrible number. I know it's not going to look great on national television in a place that sits 70,000 plus, but I don't know. I think expecting 25 or 30 for this team right now, you think that's based completely in reality?
I don't necessarily think so, and it's just more the fact of everything else that's going on over the course of August 31st. I mean, we talked about it. You got the Kiwanis Jamborees going on right now, and then tomorrow, obviously, you got some of the more notable teams. STM's going to be that nightcap. You got to imagine that could wind up putting a wrench in everybody's plans when it comes to being able to go to New Orleans. And, you know, all of this isn't necessarily on UL. I mean, I think if you wind up having it be that 2 o'clock game, I think you could probably get a lot more butts in seats. But, you know, that's what happens when the four-letter network wants to throw a wrench at things and it's an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, there will always be monkey wrenches that are thrown in, right? When you kind of move things around for TV, you move it up to 11 a.m. You move it to Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, and there's your trade-off. National television exposure, first game of the day to go off on week one, and then maybe it costs you some butts in the seat. So, look, am I telling you that in an ideal world it's fair? No, because in an ideal world you'd love to see 25, 30, 35,000 people, right, come from Lafayette and all over South Louisiana that bleed vermilion and white. I do think you're right, though. I think that there are some mitigating factors, some other things that are going on. And if you're a true fan, I guess you should never let that stop you, but I don't know. I that was interesting to me. When I read the number 14,000 and I detected all of the disappointment surrounding it, I said, well, maybe there weren't clear expectations. And maybe some of these things were dreaming, which you have to do. You got to dream high and shoot toward the future. But expecting that when you don't always get that number convincingly at home, I don't know. I understand. You're playing in the Superdome. You're playing an SEC team. It's a big game. I love the coach and the staff that's been brought in and the way they're recruiting and the way they're doing things. And if this game were in 2021, for example, and it's the fourth year of the Billy Napier era and they've established it and the winning is behind them, then maybe it would be different. That being said, I'll be there. My wife will be there. We'll have some friends that are there with us. Her parents will be there with us. So nobody call the host and yell at him because last time I checked, I'll be bringing about 8 to the ball game. So 8 of the 14,000, go ahead and check under the B Love column. One thing I do regret to tell you is I'm running out of real estate in the 5 o'clock hour. So no Karen Juno yet. I do promise we will talk about golf for a cause on this channel sooner than later. But it's been a quirky Thursday. Believe me, if I had a choice, I would have loved to have done the first hour and 20 minutes of radio today. But the Astros kicked the can down the road a little bit. That's okay. We'll regroup and we'll keep rolling on. We got plenty more coming at you. Ken Trahan talking all things Saints football at straight up 6 o'clock. James Buehr's with a Q&A replay at 6:15. And then we're going to have Jamboree football beginning at 6:45 with the pregame show. Kickoff, we believe, between 7 and 7:15. It'll be Karen Crow versus Bro Bridge. So we started a little bit late. We'll do our best to make up for it and finish strong. That much I can assure you. We've already given out 2 LSU football tickets during the show today. Congrats again to Waylon from Pop Bro getting his hands on those tickets. We've talked some LSU. We've had some Cajuns under our belt as well. And, Clint, I can tell you this, as we head toward the end of the 5 o'clock hour, the topic that I led off with, Ed Orgeron, within the last 20 minutes, was asked about it at his presser, and he said pretty bluntly, we're going to handle suspensions in-house and internally. Wouldn't confirm it, wouldn't deny it, just said whatever it is, we'll do it internally. And so one intrepid reporter, it's good work over there in Baton Rouge, I asked, all right, specifically, what about Sadiq Charles? And Ed said that he would be available if needed. Anytime that your starting left tackle and one of your best offensive players is listed as available if needed and there aren't overarching health concerns, maybe he's allowing you to read between the lines there as best that he can without violating some kind of code of his own there. So I wonder if Sadiq Charles might just be on the chopping block to miss the first game after all. All right, I know, a shotgun first hour. We'll come back, and we got more right on the other side. So stick with us. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back out to the Tap Room River Ranch, where you can come and join us and get your weekend started early. On the way, keep it locked in to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. Ben Love with you for more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Football all over the place. Later tonight on our station, we'll have high school football. Later tonight in New Orleans, the Saints play their final preseason game. We got to preview it, and to do that, we got to go to the best. And it's our pleasure to welcome aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, the owner, CEO of CrescentCitySports.com, also general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame Museum, the one and only Ken Trahan over there. We'll call him Trahan and make him kind of a Kuyan here in Acadiana. How are you, Ken?
Well, I'm good either way, man. I just accept it. I'm happy with it regardless. I'm doing great, thanks.
We've got our fourth preseason game for the Saints tonight. Dolphins are in town. The players for whom this game is of the utmost importance, who would you single out?
Well, I think you start with the wide receiver. You know, there's probably a spot available, if not two, at that position. So I think you watch Emmanuel Butler closely. You watch a guy like Sonny Cobbs, a guy like Cyril Grayson closely. And they are probably battling to try to find a spot on this team. Keith Kirkwood's not out of the woods where that's concerned. I don't think the backup tackle is on this roster as we speak. I think that's something that the Saints are clearly concerned about, and I think they'll end up picking up somebody from somewhere else once cuts are made. So I think those are two. Then the secondary, of course, a very tight competition there with a lot of guys that can play in this league, and they're going to let go of one or two guys that can absolutely play. JT Gray is one of those. It's good, but is there a spot for him? Patrick Robinson, a veteran player who's proven, but he's not been able to beat out P.J. Williams, so he's another one that certainly would be a guy to watch tonight as to whether he's going to make it or not. You know, defensive line, it's static at tackle because of Sheldon Rankin. He's not ready, obviously, but they did take him off the PUP list, and David Onyemata is going to be out for a game. So who are the guys that are going to make the roster? Malcolm Brown and Tyler Stallworth certainly will. Who else? And that's a great question, too. So I think those are some spots. And then last but not least, is Marcus Sherrill is going to return kicks tonight if he does. He's a proven commodity in this league over an extended period of time. But Deontay Harris has been terrific in the preseason and throughout camp. So, to me, I know Sherrill's is a proven commodity, and he can play, and that's why they signed him. But you got a dynamic young player like this. I just don't see any way you can let him go. So I think that's one to watch as well. Good news is they're going to cut some players that can absolutely play in this league. That's what good teams do.
Ken, at quarterback tonight, based off of what you've heard throughout this week from Sean Payton and your own intuition, what do you expect the rotation to look like, and what are they trying to prep for with this fourth preseason game at that position?
Well, they've only got two guys, of course, and it's clear that Teddy Bridgewater is the number two quarterback, so I would not think that anything would change in that regard. I don't know this because they don't tell you, but my guess is that Bridgewater will play the first half and Hill will play the second, but that's just a guess. Bottom line is they know their pecking order. It's Breeze, Bridgewater, and Hill. And Hill has certainly improved, and there's no doubt that he's opened eyes with what he's done throughout this preseason. but there's also no doubt that Teddy Bridgewater is a second guy, the highest paid backup in the league, and they believe in him. So I think, you know, again, there's been no mystery there from day one. They cut JT Barrett early on and only had three guys, and they did that for a reason, because they wanted to give the experience to Bridgewater and to Hill in the preseason, and that's certainly what's happened.
Talking Saints football with Ken Trahan, CrescentCitySports.com on 103.7 The Game. Defensive line, you would think a bit of a shot in the arm with the news that Sheldon Rankin's off of the PUP list. How are they going to slowly work him back up to game speed, and when do you expect he might make his return into game action?
I'm guessing by October. I think what you're dealing with there is he's healthy enough to do things, but it's all about performance level, right? I mean, if you're a guy that relies on your quickness and you're coming off of an Achilles injury where you push off of that foot, well, obviously that's a major part of your game. And if you don't have that explosion off the ball, off the snap, then it's going to impede you tremendously. So I think they're going to play that carefully. I do know that he's done a great job in rehab, and he talked to people about it. They are thrilled about the way he approached it. He attacked it with vigor, which is why he's ahead of schedule. Because let's not forget, he got hurt on January the 20th. And usually these things are, you know, a minimum of 9 months and more like 12. And here we are. It's just flipping the calendar. We're not even in September yet, and he got hurt in January. So you can do the math. I mean, that is a very, very fast recovery. And even if he doesn't play until October, that's still a very fast recovery. So, look, they had this last year with Alex Okafor. He came back and did a good job very quickly. And now they've got Rankins. And I just think the way that rehabs are set up now, they're getting these guys better, quicker, and getting them back on the field. And I think that certainly would be the case with Rankins.
Ken, this secondary, I believe you said maybe about a month ago on this program, the strength of the team. I guess what have you seen so far through August as they get ready for a number of early tests, including week one, Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins, for example?
Saquon Hampton's a rookie they like a lot. He's been in and out during preseason with a few nagging injuries, but he's a playmaker, good-looking player. Chris Banjo's a proven commodity and a great special teams player. And JT Gray can play as well at safety. And then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can also play a hybrid position from corner to safety. And then you got your starters, Von Bell and Marcus Williams, and Bell was really good a year ago. So you got a lot, you got all of that stuff going on at safety. And then at corner, you got a lot of great options there too. You know who the starters are with Lattimore and Apple. And then you get into the depth there, and you certainly have a lot of guys you like that are, you know, in that situation too. Because P.J. Williams has proven that he can really play in the league. And then beyond that, you're talking about some guys that definitely can play in the league. Justin Hardy is a great special teams player whom they like quite a bit. You know, Ken Crawley's probably not going to have a spot because they just don't have the roster spot for him. But they've got a lot of depth there. Now, just because you have a lot of depth doesn't mean you're outstanding. It just means you got a lot of guys. But I think they're better than they've been in recent years in the secondary.
Ken, we'll get you out of here with this. We're going back and forth, I know, offense, defense. Go back to the offensive side of the football. At wide receiver, the options outside of Michael Thomas that you continue to see emerge as young players, and I'll kind of throw in there as well, people forget about the fact Ted Ginn Jr. back healthy as well.
Ted Ginn's obviously part of the team. That goes without saying. And then, of course, when it comes to the others that are competing, and most people think Tre'Quan Smith's a lock. We'll see. I think he's probably on the team, and he was an investment. Keith Kirkwood played last year and got better and certainly showed the ability to play well. But he's been hurt throughout camp, so that's been an issue too. So that remains, again, difficult. And then there's Austin Carr. And every time you hear Sean Payton talk, he always praises Austin Carr. And this is a guy that, you know, he's not really put up the kind of productivity you'd love to see, but he's dependable. He's a slot guy. Drew Brees likes him, and Peyton always praises him, and he obviously plays special teams, and he's a character guy. So he's one of those guys that's going to be hard to let go. So if that's the case, you got five there, and then Emmanuel Butler's a guy they want to keep. So I think if they keep six, and then you got Deontay Harris who can play out there too, but you keep him as a punt returner, a kick returner, and he becomes a receiver, much along the lines of a guy like Michael Lewis when he was here. You know, he was like their sixth receiver, but he could do that, right? So that's possible there. So that's a really good competition. Simi Cobbs has had a good camp, but again, it's a numbers game. And Cyril Grayson has elite speed. And I think he's in a numbers game. The problem with Cyril is, you know, they've got a guy in Ted Ginn that does what he does. But the problem there is, how long is Ted Ginn going to be able to do that? So that's why you'd hate to let Grayson go. But at the same time, do you really have the luxury of keeping him around?
Ken, I know how busy you are. Thanks for coming aboard today. Hey, invite our listeners, while we got you, to come out and check out the Hall of Fame Museum, if not for the game tonight, maybe for that season opener.
Yeah, the museum is located at Gate B as in boy on the plaza level. That's where I'm at right now, setting up for the game tonight. We've got Saints Hall of Fame inductee Tyrone Hughes here signing autographs, taking pictures this evening. A true blood New Orleanian from St. Aug, okay? And a great guy, too, and we're proud of Tyrone. And then, of course, the museum's open during the week by appointment for anybody who wants to come. At a cost of $10 for adults, $5 for seniors and children. All you need to do is go to the Saints Hall of Fame website at saintshalloffame.com. All the information is there. And, of course, on game days, we're open 2 hours prior to game time, and anybody that's ticketed for the game can come in free of charge on game day. So we're looking forward to that, and we're expecting another few thousand in here today, as we always get. And then, of course, we encourage people to visit CrescentCitySports.com, where we talk about the Saints and the Pelicans and the LSU and Tulane and, of course, Champion High School sports all the time.
Ken, thanks so much. We'll catch up again soon.
You got it. Thank you, Ben.
That's Ken Trahan, and we'll be right back in. More of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're still live, having a great time at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Getting that football feeling on a Thursday, and why the heck not? Saints taking on the Dolphins less than an hour from now. We've already had a preview live from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome from Ken Trahan. And, yeah, we've got some local football that's coming your way a lot sooner than later. But one more time for yours truly, welcome back in to the Tap Room River Ranch. The famous Clint D, he'll guide you home for B2BS in the next segment and transition into our Jamboree coverage of Cairncrow versus Brobridge live from Cajun Field. But yours truly needs to take at least one breath and then get over to the home of the Raging Cajuns to call a game between the Golden Bears and the Tigers. And fired up about that, and to get us all a little bit more in high school football mode. Got to get you thinking a little, not just about the teams you'll see tonight, but all the Jamborees from around the area tonight, tomorrow night. A couple of these are centralized to what's going on with the Kiwanis Jamboree at Cajun Field, but just about everything else is going to be more of a one-off style Jamboree. So we're going to get you the latest on all that and more. Our good friend James Buers is going to join us. Let's get out now to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline.
James Buers of the Acadiana Advocate. James, it is the last Monday in August. It's a beautiful time to be alive.
Man, it's been a very long month for me. I was just telling my boss Kevin Foote that this is probably the longest off season of my life, at least work wise is concerned. I mean, to think that we still have two full more weeks until the first regular season game is kind of crazy. But at least we'll play some organized football games this weekend with Jamborees kicking off Thursday and Friday. So I'm excited about that.
Could you imagine if that Little League baseball team that just won it all was from the Acadiana area? You would have had the busiest August of all time.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about that, to be honest. I mean, high school's enough, especially with 40 schools in this area. But, yeah, I can't imagine if that Little League team was from Lafayette.
Alas, they are from River Ridge. And so, okay, you got spared a little bit there. Let's dive right into some Jamboree prep. And still, I think the most prestigious in the area by far would be the Kiwanis Jamboree. Thursday, three games. Friday, three games, all live from Cajun Field. Here's what we'll do. I'll let you pick one that you want to throw a lasso around from each night and discuss. Why don't we start with Thursday night, the one that's drawing your attention, James?
I should also mention, by the way, Ben, that the games on Friday at the Kiwanis Jamboree are going to be televised by Cox 4. So if people want to watch the game on TV, can't make it to Cajun Field, you can watch the game, the Friday Jamboree games, which are Notre Dame Southside, Acadiana, Sterling Catholic, and STM St. Martinville. You can watch those games on TV on Cox 4. But, yeah, on Thursday, the game I think I'm looking forward to is Cairncrow and Brobridge. Both teams are really, really interesting to me. Starting with Brobridge, you know, they lose a ton of talent on defense. I think they had like 8 returning starters last year or something, maybe like 9. Well, they lose all of those guys because those were seniors. So they're having to replace a ton on defense. But the 3 guys they got back, or at least 2 of them, are 2 really good players, one of which is Trevante Sylvester, who's a big-time basketball player for Brobridge. He's already committed to Louisiana Tech to play football at the next level. And then their linebacker, Tyrese Martin, is one of the better overall defenders, in my opinion, in the area. He's not a big guy, but is a tackling machine and really does a good job for them. But the key for Brobridge, I think, this year is what they can do offensively, because they have a ton of skill talent, led by guys like Dartrevion Gerard, who's committed to Southern Miss, their running back, Kevon Martin. And then Coach Chad Forshaw is really excited about their new quarterback, Gavin Corville. He's a kid who played JV last year, but has already impressed in summer camps. I think he was like the MVP of the Nichols camp earlier this summer. So I'm really interested to see what Brobridge can do offensively. On the flip side, Cairnsville has a secondary that returns 2 of the better defensive backs in the area, one being Rashad Onazim, who was the district MVP last year in 4A. And then Bailey Despani is a kid who's, I think, getting a lot of, some attention in recruiting circles. And then, of course, Cairnsville is in their second year running the Veer offense. So I'm interested to see what the Veer looks like in their second year. They've got a pair of running backs, Kendrell Williams and Traylon Prejean. His nickname is Popcorn. I think both those kids are going to be really good. And plus, they've got experience on the offensive line. They got 4 3-year starters on the offensive line, which is kind of, it's an incredible luxury to have for any program. So that's the game I'm looking forward to on Thursday. And then Friday, this Notre Dame Southside game really intrigues me, just because I haven't seen Southside play yet. They did scrimmage against Westgate, I believe, and I think they held their own okay, at least for most of it. But to go up against a Notre Dame team, an incredibly disciplined, fundamentally sound team, is going to be a big test for Josh Fontenot's group. And, of course, I'm just interested to see what the Pios look like after, they routinely graduate a great senior class, but they got a quarterback back in Ben Broussard, who I think is one of the better quarterbacks in the area. And then C.J. Thibodeau, their running back, the kid who's been playing for a while. And I think, he might not be able to replace the production of Noah Bouzra, the running back they had last year, but I think he'll be able to hold his own really well. But the other game, though, is Acadiana and Trillian's Cap, but I think that's the best matchup. Acadiana, of course, has Dylan Monette back and some experience on the offensive line. And, Keontae Williams, their quarterback, got a lot of good experience last year. And I think Acadiana has a chance to really challenge in 5A this year. And then Trillian's Catholic, after a subpar year by their standards, even Dane Chaponche will admit that, brings back their quarterback, Sammy LeBlanc, and plus 2 really good linebackers in R.J. Tripp and Bradley Boudreau. So I'm interested to see what those two teams look like as well.
He is James Buehrs, a beast of a prep reporter for the Acadiana Advocate. I'll let you catch your breath, amigo. A few things I would say. 1, I'm glad to know that those Friday games will be on Cox 4. I'll be catching them. Maybe on my way, if that's possible, toward New Orleans for that game. The Cages are playing the next morning. But a reminder to everybody, we will have Cairncrow Brobridge here on 103.7 The Game live on Thursday, late afternoon, early evening. A few other things. You mentioned Rashad Onazim. I vividly remember when they didn't have him listed in the program a couple years ago, James. And so Blaine and I are calling the game, and they told us to just call him Rashad the freshman. So now this kid, Rashad the senior, he's a pretty damn good football player. The other thing I'll tell you, I'm glad you mentioned Southside up against Notre Dame. I think right now Coach Fontenot and the Sharks, they know they've got some pretty intriguing skill players. Their quarterback awfully good as well. But where they're going to be tested, and they know this, at the 3-5A level, is on both sides of the line. So if you want to challenge yourself on either side of the line, the Pios are a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's where Notre Dame wins games, is at the line of scrimmage. Of course they have, good running backs and quarterbacks who know what they're doing, but the reason Notre Dame is so successful is because they play, fundamentally sound at the line of scrimmage and are able to bully teams, frankly. And sometimes with guys who aren't even, that big, they just know what they're doing up front. So Yeah, it'll be really interesting test for Southside. I should also mention, though, the STM-St. Martinville game, that's going to be really interesting as well. I think St. Martinville has a real chance to challenge in 3A, not only in their district, but statewide as well. And, of course, STM, we talk about them all the time with all their offensive talent. So that'll be a good test for St. Martinville defense that does return a lot on their defense.
All right, let's go lightning round style, James. I know that we don't have many other huge marquee jamborees with multiple games, but that does mean we have some intriguing kind of one-off opportunities. So I'll get to three. We'll take them one at a time and move quickly. Eunice versus Iota, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Eunice, of course, moved up to Class 4A this year after winning the state championship in 3A, and they're in a weird district that, you know, has two Lake Charles teams, that one being LaGrange that moved down from 5A, and the other being Washington Marion that moves up from 3A as well, plus Rain and North Vermilion are in that district, and none of those Acadiana area teams were in the same district last year. So we'll see what happens with that. But Eunice returns several really good offensive players that were sophomores last year that kind of powered them to that state championship last year. Simeon Ardoin, their quarterback, and Deion Ardoin, his twin brother, among the better ones. And then Iota, of course, got to the semifinals last year, had their probably their best season since the early 2000s when they were making runs to the state championship game last year, but fell short in the semifinals against Sterlington. But they've got their all-state running back, Luke Duce, back. So I think Iota will be pretty good this year as well.
All right, next up, LCA, another defending champ, taking on Catholic High, Pointe Coupee.
Yeah, you know, LCA returns a lot of offensive talent. You know, Errol Rogers, the UL commitment of late, is going to play quarterback for them this year after Zach Claymont graduated and is now at Northwestern State. But, you know, he'll be helped by Logan Gabriel, the running back who's been playing for them a while. Of course, when you talk about LCA, you got to talk about Sage Ryan. He's one of the better overall players in the area and is getting recruited by high major programs already as a junior. So I'll be interested to see what LCA can do against the Catholic High Pointe Coupee team, who's normally one of the better ones in 1A. I believe they run a wing T or an option sort of offense. So I'll be interested to see if LCA can handle that run-based offense of Catholic High Pointe Coupee.
We finish off some lightning round jamboree talk with James Buers, the Acadiana Advocate. Catholic New Iberia taking a trip north against Natchitoches Central. So if you could break down the Panthers and the Chiefs, that's a 5A team.
Don't know a whole lot about Natchitoches Central, but Catholic High New Iberia, you know they're going to run the wing T as well as any team in the area. You know, Trey Amos, their quarterback, is back. He recently committed to UL as well. And then they also got a running back in Trey Henry. And, of course, they're usually always really good up front. So I'm interested to see what Catholic High New Iberia can do this year, especially once they get to the playoffs, because in Division III with LCA moving up, St. Charles Catholic moving down, you know, that division became a lot more difficult. So it might not be as easy for Catholic High to get back to the state championship game. But I think playing a team like Natchitoches Central to start the season is a good early test for them and will help them get ready for the season.
James, always appreciate the time. Again, I know you've had a long August, but September, it's going to rock. And before you know it, you and I will be at the Dome and maybe at some other exotic locations for the select teams watching state championship games. I promise it's going to fly by.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
If you're not ready now for the high school football, I just can't help you. But we do have to hit our final break in today's program. Do not forget, one more time, myself and Blaine Viator, it's like magic, right? And I'm going to teleport over to Cajun Field from the Taproom River Ranch. We'll have the live call of Cairn Crow versus Brobridge. 6:45 is your pregame show. We are estimating a kickoff. Always funny to do that when there's three Jamboree games and yours is the middle. But we're estimating that the game will actually begin somewhere around 7, maybe 7:15. Again, live from Cajun Field, and we're awfully excited about it here at Acadiana Sports Station. We'll come right back, and Clint will put a bow on the show. Great guest list today. We've had a lot of fun. Ken Trahan, Gordy Rush, and more. Stick with us. A little more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you from the Taproom River Ranch, and we're starting our weekend off the right way on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Georgia Tech, and the Tigers are huge 35.5-point favorite. Major League Baseball finals from earlier was the Indians shutting out the Tigers 2-0. The A's got by the Royals 9-8. Twins double up the White Sox 10-5. Rays edge the Astros 9-8. In progress right now, bottom of the first inning, the Mets with a 1-0 lead over the Cubs. Also bottom of the first inning, Cincinnati with a 2-1 lead over Miami. Basketball news, police in Mobile, Alabama have issued an arrest warrant for DeMarcus Cousins on charges of misdemeanor domestic violence, and Nets forward Wilson Chandler suspended for 25 games for violating the league policy on PEDs. Get all your scores on the NBC Sports Scores app.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Summer's ending, and savings are back in business with Dell's Labor Day sale. Small businesses can save up to 40% on select business computers with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything, including a wide selection of thousands of top-brand electronics. Give our specially trained small business technology advisors a call. They can help you find just the right tech to fit your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
This is Raging Cajun football coach Billy Napier, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Mark your calendar for the 4th Annual Golf for a Cause Tournament, September 17th at Farm D. Alley Golf Club. Golf for a Cause is much more than a tournament. It is an event complete with a tee-off party at Rockin' Bowl, Monday, September 16th. The tournament starts with a 1 p.m. shotgun, includes lunch, and all proceeds benefit the St. Mary's Residential Training School for individuals with special needs. Golf for a Cause. Sign up or gain more info by logging on to cfacadiana.org/golf4acause.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Get your back-to-school deal at Mustang Tattoo in New Iberia. Knock $13,500 off MSRP on 2019 GMC Sierra, 2500 HD Denali, and SLT models. Visit MustangTattooGM.com. We are professional grade.
GKO 111, Denali 4x4, 71005 MSRP, $88.49 dealer discount, $32.08 customer cash, $14.43 loyalty, 05 renewed GM product, $57,505 sale price, plus tax, title, and license. See dealer for details. Offer ends 8/31.
Observe a domesticated human family in their natural habitat, known to their species as the backyard.
Hey, you think I should light it now?
I think it's good.
Yeah?
Oh dear, someone is about to burn a pile of debris that's too tall, which can start a wildfire. Wait, could it be? Blimey,
oh,
it is.
It's Smokey.
It's Smokey Bear. What a legend.
Hey, it's Smokey. Sorry, it was too high.
Right. Watch as he astutely ensures that there's no wind and how he removes some of the debris to create a smaller, safer burning pile.
No, you can't make it bigger, baby. The bigger, the better.
Take note of our fearless furry friend here, right. Humans.
I appreciate it. Fist bump.
Watching you.
Smokey's done it again.
Bye, Smokey.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Don't put your life on the line when you dig. Do what the pros do. Respect the marks. Dig with care. And before you dig, call 811. Louisiana One Call.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The free 103.7 The Game mobile app is getting better all the time, and it's waiting for you. Just go to your app store, search KLWB 103.7 The Game, and then you'll take Acadiana Sports Station with you on the go. Listen to live and local shows, catch up with on-demand interviews, specialty podcasts, and get involved with the Rewards Club. Your chance to win free goods, even trips to see the Houston Astros. It's the free 103.7 The Game mobile app, and it's proudly presented by Visit Avery Island.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper Sports here on 1037 The Game as we get you closer to the pregame show for the Kiwanis Jamboree matchup between Karen Crow and Bro Bridge. Definitely going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you keep it locked right here. That's why I'm on the air, not as much Ben, because honestly, it'd be kind of hard for him to be on the air over at the Tap Room River Ranch and make that transition very quickly to Cajun Field. I think he'll be there, and he'll be there alongside our guy Blaine Viator. Kind of a fun little, I'd say an appetizer ahead of your, obviously, your regular season getting kick-started next week. And we've got you covered all over the place when it comes to high school football in Acadiana. Of course, we start things off here on 103.7 The Game with the Football Night in Acadiana pregame show. This time with an added twist. Over the last few years, it had been Ben Love largely flying solo dolo, but he'll be partnering. He'll have a co-pilot this time around, and that is RP3, the host of RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, 6 to 9 a.m., and also it's part of the Lafayette High broadcast. Get to them in just a few minutes. But I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with the Karen Crow Golden Bears. Actually wound up talking to Tony Corville last week when I handed him the schedules, the posters we have promoting Karen Crow Golden Bears football on Z105.9 all season long. Talked to him about the program, and he felt like they were a little humbled during the scrimmage with Lafayette High. Feels like they're going to be a lot more improved. But Karen Crow's got some growing up to do, just a little bit, but still a whole lot of talent all the way around. And by the way, yeah, you'll hear Karen Crow on Z105.9. You'll have the Vermilion Parish Game of the Week make its triumphant return over on 106.3 Radio Lafayette. Don Allen and Wade Corville will take care of business and make sure you hear all your favorite Vermilion Parish teams go at it on the gridiron. You got the Southside Sharks, the inaugural season. That's going to be over on Mustang 107.1. That's going to be a lot of fun having the first ever year for the Southside Sharks, right here on Acadiana Sports Station. Because something that I think maybe not all of us thought about at the beginning of the year was the Southside Sharks' first year of varsity football. A lot of intrigue heading into this year. And, of course, you'll hear that over on Mustang 107.1. And then the Rewind at 97.7 FM will have the Lafayette High Mighty Lions Game of the Week. I mentioned last year, you know, they wound up getting a couple wins. They've started to realize what it takes to get those dubs. I think this is going to wind up helping them out and be a big benefit going forward. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen between the Lafayette High Mighty Lions and also the Southside Sharks as they begin their ascent. And they're going to be playing in 3-5A right out the gate. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that district with a new member in-house, and it's going to be very entertaining. I feel like we talk about it all the time, 4-4A, where Karen Crow and STM are at, being one of the toughest districts in the state. I feel like 3-5A, especially in Acadiana, is plenty tough. And obviously, Acadiana High is the big dog in that. And speaking of 4-4A and St. Thomas More, of course, they'll be right here on 103.7 The Game, as they have been since I've been here. It's been a long time. And I'm absolutely excited about the fact that you'll be hearing St. Thomas More Cougar football, and maybe, just maybe, another trip to the Dome on tap for them. Of course, we can talk about it all day till the cows come home when it comes to the positives for the Cougars heading into 2019. I think Caleb Holstein is going to be the biggest positive of all, having him back and being able to perform at a very high level. I think they want to make it back to the Superdome. This is a bold prediction from me on the high school front. And earlier this week, Ben actually dove into great detail about his bold predictions for the 2019 season when it comes to college and pro. I'm going to give a couple bold predictions as well, and I think without a doubt, I'm going to go ahead and just go right out the gate with my college football playoff Final Four. I've got a few minutes to kind of let that out. I'll give you more details on Saturday. A little tease right there. Professionally done it, if I do say so myself, when it comes to the predictions for the 2019 season, because there's still a lot of things going on with college football getting started in just a little bit. It looks like week one is going to officially get started, I believe, in the next hour. Of course, you got the final week of preseason to talk about. Before I get to all that, let me just give you a friendly reminder. Football season opener for LSU against Georgia Southern. It'll be here on 103.7 The Game, but if you're going to be watching it on the TV and you mute it and you just turn it on 103.7 The Game to listen in to Chris Blair and the crew talk, give you all the play-by-play, every single hit, might I recommend you go over to the SEC Network. It got moved over due to a lot of the Florida games being moved due to the approaching Hurricane Dorian going to make landfall possibly on Sunday. And that winds up changing a lot of the game plans going forward. But I'm going to get back to what I was talking about when it comes to the Heisman Trophy college football playoff predictions, at least for me. And for me, it's number one, Alabama, number two, Clemson, without a doubt. Number three, I'm going to go Oklahoma. And number four, I'm going to be lazy here and go Georgia. I was hearing a lot of stuff about Michigan. Some people were picking that team as a dark horse. I get it, but prove to me that you can beat Ohio State. Prove to me that you can get over the bugaboo that is Ohio State. If you're a Michigan Wolverine fan, that's the biggest question that I have right here, right now. And then also, when you look at the Heisman, I'm going to go easy here and go Jalen Hurts. I know Ben actually went Travis Etienne, went completely against the grain. Mind you, 21 odds, I think you can kind of get away with that. But honestly, I feel like when you just look around the world of college football, I feel like Oklahoma is going to have the stranglehold because of the fact that they have the ability to get points on the board. They can get things done, and it's going to be impressive, to say the least. Looking forward to seeing what happens for the LSU Tigers in 2019. Honestly, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Jalen Hurts because, again, you're playing in a conference where defense isn't necessarily the biggest thing in the world. We see a lot of, like, 50-point games. You see teams put up 50 burgers. This is going to wind up being a great opportunity for Jalen Hurts to explode and probably wind up improving his draft stock significantly because 2020 is going to be a year filled with really solid quarterbacks. Now, again, can Jalen Hurts get things done at the pro level? Can Joe Burrow get things done at the pro level? It remains to be seen. But it's going to be fun, to say the least, what happens with all those teams and a whole lot more. And, of course, once again, friendly reminder, in just a few minutes, we'll be taking you up to Cajun Field. I know Ben Love is en route. I think he'll be in the next few minutes, alongside Blaine Viator, talking and give you the play-by-play about Cairngorm High School football and the Kiwanis Jamboree against Bro Bridge. Going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, tomorrow is going to be where the real fun is with Ruffino's on the River. Ben Love, Bumper to Bumper Sports, is making their way back over there. Be on from 4 to 6. But, of course, the fun doesn't stop there at Ruffino's on the River, a great place to celebrate life if there ever was one. And I'm about done. In just a couple minutes, we'll get you to the big game between Karen Crow and Bro Bridge. It's the Kiwanis Jamboree, a nice appetizer, once again, as some of the big-name football teams go at it in the Acadiana area. One of the mini games on tap for the next couple days for the Kiwanis Jamboree. Of course, there's several of them tomorrow, and I think Ben Love and crew will give you the details on that. Going to take a quick commercial break. Be back with a whole lot more on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Steve Sparks with the Houston Astros Radio Network, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
Delta Media is offering businesses a chance to be a part of our live radio coverage of high school football, featuring the North Vermilion Parish Game of the Week, plus coverage from Karen Crow Bears, Lafayette High Lions, and Southside Sharks. Your sponsorship of...